Amen, amen. That's like an anthem that I like. It's like going to the gym to have a workout. Sometimes you take your favorite songs to work out even harder. So I'm about to work out a little harder today. So with that being said, I'll say something funny to get us going. There was a husband and wife, and they were about to get married. So the husband went to the pastor and slipped him $100 and said, "Can you leave out all that till death do us part, all the sickness and health, and leave that part out and just put what I want you to put in?" So the pastor takes $100, says, "Okay, I agree with you." They go before. He's walking down the aisle happy, thinking I'm pulled one over on her. They get to the altar, and the preacher says to the husband, Are you going to cook breakfast for your wife every morning? Are you going to give her your paycheck? Are you going to bow down and everything she says is right?" He reaches over to the pastor and said, "Hey, I thought we had a deal." The pastor reaches his pocket, handed back his $100. He said, "Your wife gave me a better deal." So with that being said, don't try to make deals, because somebody always has a better deal. With that being said, got two titles today, and I will let y'all decide on which title you want to run with. And the first one I'll say is, when will I, or you can put yourself in there, because I'm learning to look at myself, and maybe my words will touch somebody in the audience. But when I try to just say we're all the same, I don't know your personal life. So your life might be a little bit different, but when will I stop playing hide and seek with God? Or the other title will be hide and seek ambassadors. See, and this is a question I want all you guys to think about. And just give me a few answers. I know it's a time for me to be preaching, but I want to hear your feedback. What is the first game that some of you ever played as a child? Just to go back to your childhood, the very first game that you ever played, was ever taught, and ever known. Red Rover? Kick the can, look, it's a lot of games. Hopscotch, yes sir, yes ma'am. See, when I look back at the first thing that comes, when I look back at my childhood, the first thing that comes to mind is peekaboo. Then hide and seek. See, today we'll get a better understanding of how we sometimes still play these games, but with our lives. See, I think everyone has heard of these games, and if you have not, then you missed out. See, I play peekaboo with Jalen all the time, but not hide and seek, not just yet. When we start playing, I put a blanket over his head and remove it quickly and say peekaboo, and the look on his face is priceless. He laughs and can do this for hours, but me, on the other hand, will get tired and want to do something else. See, I understand more and more when the word of God tells me to be like a child. See, having a child, you pay attention more to what your child does and how easily this child is entertained and how he loves you unconditionally. See, some of us say, "Well, my child is grown," but when you look back at the days when that child was a baby, how you catered to that child and you cared for that child unconditionally, how that child brought you joy, it brought you understanding, it brought you meaning in life, if anything else. See, but we got to look at Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. And I'll be reading from the Amplified Version because, to me, you get a better understanding with this version in the King James. And I just want it to be plain and simple. "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child and set him before them and said," see, the first thing I got from this, he called a little child. If I call one of y'all to come up here and stand, would you be willing to do what this little child did? Or would you be like, what's he about to do today? That's one thing. This child came with no questioning. He just came to do what Jesus told him to do. See, he called a little child and set him before them and said, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you repent, that is change your inner self, your old ways of thinking, live, change lives and become like children, trusting, humble and forgiving. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. He's telling you humble, trusting, forgiving. These are three things that could carry with us for the rest of our life. Three things an ambassador should have at all times in his life. Never being mad, or upset, or getting angry. It says anger, but sin not. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives and welcomes one like this child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble and sin by leading him away from my teaching, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone as large as one turned by a donkey hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. So even when we turn somebody away or turn somebody around, we got to understand what we're doing. Because just because they're not on our level, they can still be drinking on milk. Just because we're on meat doesn't mean we got to be rude or foul mouth with them. Because if we turn them away, it says, well, we're better off doing. But see, there's a story I would like to tell y'all. Because when you understand this, you won't try to offend anybody no more. You'll try to do better in life. A person we'll call Jay told a story of how he used to play hide and seek with his friends. On the rare occasions that he got to be something other than it, he sought the ideal place to hide. One day, he thought he had found it, an abandoned house with a big porch on the front that had lattice work around the bottom to allow air to circulate under the house. He had found an opening in the lattice work and crawled in under the porch, pushing aside the cobwebs, smelling the damp earth as he wormed his way all the way to the other side of the house where he could look out and see his friends still counting to 100. He delighted in the thought that no one could ever find him. And then it suddenly hit him. If something was to happen to him, no one would ever be able to find him there. He would be alone and lost forever. It was suddenly important to him to be found, and he stuck his leg out through the lattice work, hoping that he might be able to trip his friends if they passed by the way. He wanted to be found. See, just like the young man in the story, I had to be found, but not by friends, but by God. And the only way was to get saved and become the ambassador I know I should have been. See, regardless how much you try to play hide and seek with God, God will find you. Regardless how much you run in the world and think you're going to get away with it, the sins will catch up with you. See, some people think that I've been getting away with this long, I continue to do what I want. Some people put it in the back of their head. God knows my heart. At some point in time, you got to change and stop playing hide and seek and be able to become the ambassador you're supposed to be. See, me trying to hide under a house, I had to think about it. Do I really want to get bit by a snake or a spider or something? No, I need somebody to know where I'm at all times. Because if I'm lost, I'm lost. See, I have to rethink some things. Putting my foot out was like, hey, I'm here. All the time I didn't want to get tagged, I finally wanted to get tagged because I had a little fear in my life. And I started to think and use my head. See, mankind has engaged in a game of hide and seek with God ever since the dawn of creation. You don't believe me? Adam and Eve started it off, and they were the best at this game. They ate from a tree that they were not supposed to eat from. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 and 12. Once again, Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Game of hide and seek now. Adam decides to hide himself, knowing he can't hide himself from God, but he still tried. See, Adam tried to cover up his sins. Sometimes we try to cover up our sins. I know I try to cover up my sins. But guess what? God knows all and sees all. See, we can wait to that day on the deathbed, because I heard a Christian once say, "I'll just ask for forgiveness before I die." You're playing a game, just like when you go to Vegas, you're taking a chance. Don't mean you're going to have $1 million just because you put 100 in there. You might lose it all, you might win it all. 50-50 chance. But see, you shouldn't live your life as ambassadors like that. You should always be aware of the sins you have committed and go back and ask for forgiveness and get on the right track. See, he told him he hid himself from him. But then let's go on. It says, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten fruit from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman who you gave to me, to be with, she gave me the fruit from the tree and I ate it." That's like passing the puck. Well, I don't have to worry about it because I know somebody else will do it. I don't have to worry about my sins because God is going to forgive me. That's like living that life like it doesn't really matter. Just because somebody else is willing to teach a class doesn't mean that you should allow them to do it all the time, 24/7. We all have gifts. We all have something we can do. But sometimes it's just like, hey, that's not my problem. As an ambassador, it's this whole body's problem. Because just like those people that got shot, anything can happen here. We had a shootout on 7th Street, a bad shootout. A man was driving and they started firing. Luckily, nobody died, but still, it can happen anywhere, people. It doesn't mean, oh, we're safe. No, it doesn't mean that. It means we need to get closer. We need to teach the young people. We need to let them know, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die for a reason. I'm going to die because I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And as ambassador, you wear that proudly on your chest. See, he tried to pass the puck saying it was that woman. But God said, no, 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 you're your own person. But I'm going to fix you both up. Because what you did was uncalled for. But see, God didn't only fix them both up. He fixed the serpent up, too, who caused the problems. See, you're going to get what you got coming to you eventually one day. Or you can live a good life, a good free life, a good healthy life, a good life where you can enjoy this time side of life. See, but even goes farther than that when it goes to playing hide and seek. Cain and Abel, when he killed his brother, he said, "Where's your brother?" "I don't know. He hiding somewhere." But the earth, his blood was crying for him. He thought that he killed him. Oh, my problems has gone away. No, his problems had just started. He had to live the rest of his days knowing he killed his brother. The first one to kill somebody on this planet. And then he was marked. He really didn't understand what he had did. He probably wanted death, but God said, "You ain't going to get death. That's too easy for you, brother. You got to suffer with this. You got to live with this for what you did." But then we even go farther to Peter. Peter liked to play hide and seek too. See, Peter said he loved God. But when you look at John chapter 21, verses 15 to 17, once again, that's John chapter 21, 15 to 17. So when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than those others do, with total commitment and devotion?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." You understand, Peter didn't understand agape love. Peter understood this friendship love. Peter understood this love that was like more affectionate for Jesus. See, agape love is unconditional love, and you're going to see why Peter was hiding the true love he should have had for Jesus Christ. You keep reading. He said, "Yes, Lord, I love you with a deep affection." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lamb." Again, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? With total commitment and devotion. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you, with a deep personal affection as for a close friend. Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me with a deep personal, do you love me? He replied, with a deep personal affection for me as for a close friend. Peter was grieved that he asked him the third time, do you really love me with a deep personal affection as a close friend? He started to get bothered by God, Jesus asking him more than once. He didn't understand agape love. They asked Jesus many of things, and he never once got upset with them. When they said, Jesus, can you tell us what you mean by these parables? He explained it to them with not even getting upset. He let them know. See, that agape love brings patience. It brings understanding. Regardless of what goes on in your life, you got to remember to have that true love. Not that Valentine's love, not that Easter love, not that Christmas love, or that Happy New Year's love when you're feeling yourself real good type of love. I'm talking about the 24/7 love that God shows us at all times. See, when God does that, he said he's in our example and we can follow his example. But see, it even goes farther. See, Peter really wanted to play this game when he started to feel the pressure. When you look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Now, Peter was sitting outside the courtyard. This is when Jesus gets taken. He's about to be crucified. And Jesus warned Peter about what he was going to do. But Peter said, not me, Lord. See, some of us will say, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to do this. But when somebody come in here with a gun saying, are you a Christian? What will you really do? There's a difference to talk about it and to be about it. See, me growing up doing the things that I did, getting in trouble and stuff, the people I hung around, it was either be about it or get away from them because they weren't playing in the streets. They would come to your front door and didn't care if your mom or your daddy who was there. I understood that. That's why I had to get away from that because I said, I'm tired of doing this. Because every day you looking over your shoulder when you get out your car to walk to your front door is not the life to live. It's a life that I wouldn't wish on nobody to live. But see, when I chose that path, God showed me a way to get away from that too. See, now Peter was sitting outside the courtyard and a servant girl came up to him and said, you too were with Jesus, the Galilean. But he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you are talking about. That's just like a gunman coming in here saying, are you a Christian? No, I'm just here visiting. I don't even know how I got here. I was invited by this person over here. You started pointing fingers because of fear of where are you going to go? The not having understanding. See, at some point in time, the rubber going to meet the road, like Brother Harmon says. You're going to come against that true test. Regardless if it's on your deathbed, regardless if it's right as soon as you leave these doors, you're going to have a test. And when you pass it is a key thing. See, Peter denies in front of the girl. And when he had gone out of the gate yard, another servant girl saw him and she said to the bystander, this man was with Jesus, the Nazarene. And again, he denied it with an oath. This time he getting a little upset now. He getting a little irritated now. See, sometimes I get irritated too by some of the things that go on in my life, but I got to understand that I'm in control right now. I can either deal with this and get upset or I can show them love and kindness. When I was doing my lesson at work, a guy was sitting behind me because it seems like now I have more time to do my lessons and study at work now. And I was on my phone and I'm scrolling through the Bible and he's just standing there for about 2 minutes or so, not saying nothing to me. And he looks and he was like, Jay, what are you doing? I said, I'm reading my Bible. He was like, I can clearly see that. But does everybody else know what you're doing? I said, it don't matter to me, brother, because I got to live my life true to who I am. He was like, well, I'm going to tell all the bad people to stay away from you. So I started to giggle and I said, no, tell them to come towards me Because, see, and as ambassador, you're supposed to be a light to the dying world. See, this guy Bruno always messes with me. He always tries to get under my skin, brother. He'll come up to me and he'll say, hey, that guy Julian, what he did to you was wrong. How do you feel about him? I said, I love him regardless. And he was like, what do you mean? I said, if he was hungry, I would still feed him regardless of what he did to me. Because it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is not for me to take out on anybody. This guy Julian put me on blast in front of everybody one day. And I was like, boy, if you'd have caught me a few years later. But I have to stop dwelling on that. Because, see, if I start going back to that, eventually my thoughts will become my actions. My actions will become my lifestyle. And see, I done came too far to go backwards. See, I want to progress, not regress. See, when you start to understand that, you'll start to let things go in your life. But see, Peter was still hiding. He was hiding from the truth. Peter was afraid. Peter was like, nuh-uh. I seen what y'all did to him. You was spitting on him, beating him. And I know what the rest is about to come because I know what crucifixion is about this time. So I'm not prepared for that. He wasn't really ready for that. So Peter said, deny, deny, deny. And that's what he did. See, and he even did it with oath. And then here goes Peter after he denied with an oath. I do not know the man. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for even your Galilean accent gives you away. So they like the way you talk is giving you away. See, this is what he really, then this is where Peter really gets it. Then he began to curse. That is to invoke God's judgment on himself and swear an oath. So now he's cursing and getting upset. Peter's true colors are starting to come out. See, Peter was an ambassador, but he decided to put the ambassadorship on the back burner. See, regardless how mad we get, we got to remember who we are. These whole group of bystanders was looking at Peter. They were like, why should I be trying to be like him if Peter doing that? Peter was lying. He was cussing. He was hot. He was mad. Peter didn't have understanding. But you know what Peter did? He gained understanding because Peter died for Jesus later on down the road. See, Peter just didn't stay at that plateau. Peter said, you know what? I got to evolve. I got to do something differently. Because if I don't, everything I did walking with Jesus is all for nothing. Every day coming here on Sundays and not doing nothing, what's it for? So you can be like Peter and deny the word, or you can be strong and be like Peter after he got understanding and be strong like he was. See, after he done cussed him out and everything else, he says, I do not know the man. And at that moment, a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus when he had said, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Peter was hurt. Peter got understanding. Peter said, you know what? I deny my father. I denied the one that came and died for me. The one and true God. The one that said, I will leave you a comforter. Peter said, you know what? I'm so sorry. See, he could have went and did what Judas did and hung himself and killed himself, but he didn't. Peter got back up, cleaned himself off, and became a strong disciple. See, the thing is, we all have our moments where we probably will get down in the dirt. Where we'll feel like, God, this is too much for me to bear. But if you understand the word, he said, I will not put more on you than you can bear. See, you'll understand that you'll have many trials and tribulations, but guess what? God gonna give you what you need. He'll always be there right on time. See, Peter started to understand this. See, Peter decided to say, you know what? I don't want to play hide and seek anymore. I want to be found. When he wept bitterly, he really understood it. See, sometimes we lose track of what we're supposed to do. See, people today hide in many ways. They hide behind things like wealth, fame, popularity, and partying. Often they do this because they don't want to face the consequences of their sins. Like my son Jalen with the blanket over his head, and when I pull it off him, he is surprised. And sometimes people act the same way with the sins. And they react to God by saying, if I can't see him, he can't punish me. Or better yet, God will forgive me and forget. See, sometimes people take church as a what if scenario. What if it's real? What if there is a God? What if there's a heaven? I want to do this just as a backup plan. We shouldn't be that way. We should fully know there is a God. We should fully have understanding that there is a heaven. And how you do that is by the lifestyles and how you live. See, we can all come in here and say, oh, yes, just like I said, I shuck and jived a lot of people through my lifetime. And all I did was burn bridges. I don't want to burn a bridge with God. We need to understand that. See, when people do this, God will do this. That seems, see, people think I can't see him, I can't understand him. But see, that seems to be the logic of those described in Revelation chapter 6 on the day of judgment who cry out to the mountains and rocks to hide them. But before we go to Revelations, let's go to Isaiah 2:19 through 22. Once again, that's Isaiah 2:19, chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. They, the stripped, deprived of all in which they had trusted in, will go into caves of the rocks and into the holes of the ground, fleeing from the terror and dread of the Lord. And then, and from the splendor of his majesty, when he arises to the terror of the earth, in that day, man will throw away to the moles and to the bats their idols of silver and their idols of gold, which they made for themselves to worship, to go into caves of the rocks and into the cliffs of the rigid cliffs as they flee from the terror and dread of the Lord. When he arises to terrify the earth, stop regarding man whose breath is in his nostrils for so little time, for why should he be esteemed? Isaiah let us know back in the Old Testament, there's going to be a reckoning, a day of reckoning for everybody. Judgment will come. People are going to try to hide in caves. People are going to try to do everything they can. I remember during the Cold War, people was building bunkers. The government had everybody so afraid. They were taking in money, build me a bunker, do this, do that. They were taking mortgages out on their house, seconds and everything, just to build a bunker because they said the end of the world is coming. They made announcements over the world, and guess what? There was no war. The United States even ended up working it out. But look what they did. See, when God comes, there's no preparation you can do. According to Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 to 17, once again, that's Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 and 17. Then the kings of the earth and the great man and the military commanders and the wealth and the strong and everyone, whether slave or free, hide themselves in caves and amongst the rocks of the mountains. And they called to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of whom who sits on the throne and from the righteous wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath and vengeance and retribution has come. And who is able to face God and stand before the wrath of the Lamb? When you go read Revelations, it's talking about the seals and stuff like that. But it's letting you know people are going to try to run and hide. When those gunmen came into those stores, people would try to run and hide. Those gunmen had one thing on their mind, to kill. Like I said, half those people probably weren't ready. But I ask you today, will you be ready on that day of reckoning? See, the Bible doesn't lie. People are going to say, they're going to ask for the mountains to come down and cover them. That's some stuff right there. You asking for these mountains to cover you, to really hide you? God made all this. You need to have some understanding that there's nowhere to hide. They could say, go to Mars. Guess what? He made the stars. He made all that. You still going to have judgment wherever you go in this world. Mars, the moon, Jupiter, wherever they're going to go. Eventually, they'll get there because the Bible lets me know in the Tower of Babel, whatever man put their mind to, they're capable of doing. So they're going to get there. But they're losing focus on who God is. See, we need to understand that's why we're ambassadors, to go refocus the world. This country was built on In God We Trust, but we have came so far from what we really was built on. We need to understand to get back to where we were at. They still put their hand on the Bible when they swear in the president, so it lets me know all hope is not lost. Anytime they swear in the president, the judge, and they put their hand on the Holy Bible. So there's still hope for this world. When I look at my son, I'd be like, boy, you live in a hopeless world. You're going to have robots doing this. You go to McDonald's, a robot cooking your burger, everything. I tell them I ain't got to worry about it because I ain't going to see it in my lifetime. But still, that's what they're doing. They're trying to phase out more and more and depend on machine. See, we need to have an understanding. It's not about us. It's about the generation that's coming after us. We need to understand about the children. Stop playing hide and seek. Jeremiah 23, 24 through 23. Once again, that's Jeremiah 23, verses 23 to 24. Am I a God who is at hand, says the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, saith the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? God let us know there's nowhere you can hide. Jeremiah was trying to tell them, you can build these great walls, you can build these palaces, but guess what? There's nowhere you can hide. See, I'm almost done here. Let's look at Moses. See, when I looked at the book of Exodus, chapter 33, 1 through 3, see, I found that God had gotten tired of playing games with the Israelites and tells Moses that he will send angels on ahead to lead the people into the promised land, but he wouldn't be going on with them. See, God had to tell Moses, I'm fed up with this. I'm tired of the way y'all acting. Moses didn't understand. But when you look at chapter 33, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, depart, go up from here, and you and the people whom you have brought from the land of Egypt to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying to your descendants, I will give it to you. I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, Amalekites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, and Hivites, and go up to a land of abundance, flowing with milk and honey, for I will not give up in the midst, because you are stiff-necked, stubborn, rebellious people, I might destroy you on the way. This is God himself saying, y'all ain't gonna change. Y'all ain't gonna do nothing. So I need to leave your presence. Because if I stay in your presence, I'm gonna kill you all. And then my promise ain't gonna be true. So let me separate myself from y'all. See, but Moses was disturbed by God's. Moses has some common sense when you go to Exodus chapter 33, 15 to 16. And Moses began to worry and stress out, and he cried out, what is life without your presence? As much as we have cried out, what is church? What is singing? What is praying? What is any pursuit in life without God's presence? See, without God, what's it all for? Moses understood this. We come here singing and sound beautiful all day long. We can look good, smell good, and everything else. But what is it without God's presence? Moses understood this. 15 to 16. And Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with me, do not lead us up from here. Moses said, hey, if you're not with us, I don't even care about getting there. I don't care about you taking these people. I don't care about none of that. For now, then how can it be known that your people and I have found favor in your sight? Is it not by you going with us so that we are distinguished, your people and I, from all the others people on the face of the earth?" Moses brings it out very beautiful. As ambassadors, we're supposed to be separated. People are supposed to know us. God's presence is supposed to be around us at all times. See, Moses understood that. That's why he said, "I forfeit it all if you ain't going to be in my presence, Lord God. I understand the angels and all that stuff, but I need you to personally be here." See, he said, "I leave you a comforter." We have Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, I mean. The Holy Spirit is the Trinity, the Godhead. We should always have that on our shoulders at all times. Regardless what goes on in our life, regardless what happens, we should remember we have a part of Jesus Christ. When we got in that water, he gave us that part. Regardless what goes on. Like I said, we have been truly blessed when you look at this church in Apple Valley. We haven't had no deaths. Just think about it, people. Ain't nobody, we probably been sick, probably been close to death. But guess what? Ain't nobody, we ain't had no funerals in here in a long time. Think about it, people. What God has done for us, just in this congregation. Might not be all peaches and cream. Might hurt when you get up. It hurts me when I get up. But guess what? We are here together. God has truly blessed us. We need to take in consideration and stop playing hide and seek. We need to understand we are in the presence of greatness. If something is wrong, if you done sinned, you can confess. You ain't got to get up here and make a big old spiel, blah, blah, blah. You can just say, "Lord God, forgive me. I want to get it right today." Amen. And guess what? God will get it right for you. Moses understood what it was to be in the presence of God. I pray I've said something to let you better understand we're in the presence of greatness. We can make a difference in this world. Be blessed today.